You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Darren Owen, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's Huntingdon and Warwick over the obstacles on Thursday afternoon. We have all weather racing at Lingfield alongside that, and all weather action in the evening as well from Chelmsford City. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Gareth Topham. How are you, Gareth?
Yeah, good, Mark. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Bit of a weird day on Thursday because there's no flat turf racing.
Mm.
There's a couple of all-weather meetings and a bit of jumping.
Yeah, that's like a proper winter's day, that, isn't
it? It is, isn't it?
So, yeah, not that I mind that.
No.
At all.
Fair enough.
It's literally just around the corner now, isn't it, this jump season? It's bubbling up and we've already seen one or two good horses make their reappearances, and we're going to be talking about one who's making her reappearance on the weekend shortly. And yeah, ultimately, it's that very exciting time of year. Difficult punting-wise as well, I think,
yeah,
at the moment, across both sort of, both flattened jumps, but ultimately very exciting at the same time.
Yes, and you mentioned that we're seeing some of the star jumps performers coming back out. We saw Death Duty make his chase debut on Tuesday. He got there in the end. It wasn't all straightforward. And we're going to see Fiona make her hurdling debut at the weekend. She won the Grade 1 bumpers at both Cheltenham and Punchestown festivals last season. She looks incredibly exciting as a prospect for the future, and I'm looking forward to seeing her go over the timber.
Yeah, I am, and you'd imagine that she'll take to it no problem at all. And as you say, Mark, she was highly impressive, wasn't she, in her bumper races back last season. The season culminating with wins at the Cheltenham Festival, where she came from an absolute mile back. I think it was 13th with just over a furlong to go, and powered up the hill, and then followed that up with another decisive win at the Punchestown Festival. She looks very, very exciting, and no doubt after her run on Saturday, if she goes in and she goes in well, there'll already be quotes flying through for a repeat bid at Cheltenham in whatever race that she's destined to go for.
Yes, so that's kind of looking a few weeks and a few months ahead, just looking to next season really as well. We talked on the podcast pretty much all week about whether we'll see Enable next year, and hopefully that we would. And John Gosden is kind of saying the same. He's hoping that she'll return as a four-year-old, so we may well see a repeat arc bid. Good news if she comes back, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be, because she saved this flat season, really. I don't think this has been a vintage flat season by any means, particularly on the three-year-old front as well. I mean, sadly, we didn't really get to see much more of the Derby winner, did we? And generally, it's just been lacking a star, particularly in the Colts division. But the fillies, I mean, Winter's been fantastic, but Enable's just been an absolute superstar and one of the best fillies that we've seen for quite some time. And ultimately, with looking ahead to her racing on as a four-year-old, she only ever had one run as a two-year-old, and that was up at Newcastle, so she hardly really had a two-year-old campaign. So you could say, really, a three-year-old career was her first campaign, and obviously it was such a highly successful one. She's won everything, she's beaten the boys, and I mean, if she comes back next season, and she's obviously going to be aiming high again, and I mean, the arc, there'll be a repeat bid, no doubt, across two tracks as well, of course, because it'll be back at Longchamp next year. I mean, if she can do that, and at the moment, there's hardly a middle distance flat horse in Europe to touch her, is there? She's beaten all of them pointless on the weekend. She's going to be very, very exciting. She's already a real crowd puller, I think, even more so if she returns. Ultimately, the decision will rest with Khalid Abdullah. But, I mean, how much damage can she do, really? Hopefully not a great deal. I'd love to see her back as a four-year-old, because she's been the most exciting thing to come out of this flat season by quite some way.
Yeah, I suppose almost second most exciting could be Batash. It looks a real sprinter sprinter on the up. He won his first Group 1 in Shaughnessy at the weekend. Trainer Charlie Hills is saying that he's considering going a bit of globe-trotting with him, mentioning the likes of the Everest in Australia. And apparently, they're now calling him Boltash.
Right.
Because of his blistering speed, and he even wore gold shoes. Same as the runner that he's named after.
Mm.
That's very nice and very colourful. It's easy to get attached to that kind of thing. And like you say, it builds that star quality, doesn't it, where you can follow these horses. But in terms of a globe-trotting campaign, it'd be quite interesting to see if he can go to other countries and show them how it's done, kind of thing, I suppose.
Yeah, he's clearly got blistering speed, hasn't he? He's been very impressive quite a few times this season, in particular when he's raced with ground with a bit of cut in it, which he wouldn't necessarily get in Oz.
No.
But you could say his two best performances this season, Goodwood and Shanti on the weekend. I mean, they did come with ground with that had plenty of juice in it, but he's obviously a very, very quick horse, and he's also sort of got this, not temperament, but he has been a little bit quirky at times, particularly down to the start, and the big occasion has just got to him. Obviously, that didn't happen on Sunday at Shanti, and when he puts it all together, this horse, he is a formidable talent, isn't he? And he's beautifully bred. Again, he's only a three-year-old, rising four, and he clearly can take in his travelling as well. Okay, he was only going to France on the weekend. It's going to be a little bit different taking in a 24-hour flight to Oz and sort of readapting to the climate that he'll be facing over there. And very different conditions once he's actually on the race course. But ultimately, he has won on fast ground as well. And he's another horse. Not many horses on the flat sort of lure a crowd in. And this season, like you say, with Enable in particular, with the likes of the Australian. They love a speedy horse as well in Australia. The likes of Black Caviar we've seen. Winx over there at the moment.
Yep.
They absolutely love jumping on a horse that's goes from, you know, like a bullet from the word go. And Boltash, clearly, on a couple of his performances this season, has shown that he's in that sort of mould. He's a very classy individual, and he's another we can look forward to next term.
Yeah, and he's been gelded as well, so we'll probably hopefully see him for a few more years.
Mm.
So that's kind of in the future, just a little bit of a chat about that.
What did we make of Death Duty yesterday? Just going back, we touched on him briefly.
Yeah.
It was a bit hair-raising at times,
wasn't it? I thought he'd thrown it away at the end as well.
Yeah, Ruby was certainly up for a... The winner's podium, wasn't he? He made a late dash along the inside, but I think Death Duty, he's held on well enough, hasn't he, in the end? But I mean, he's rallied really, hasn't he, to get back up and win. I mean, he's going to be the best horse to come out of that race, but yeah, just on the odd occasion he was a little bit iffy at one or two of the fences, and you thought, oh,
if you'd backed him at 1-5, I think.
But who's backing 1-5 horses? I don't care how good they are, what they've done last season. If you're backing horses at 1-5 first time out in a novice chase, I'm not convinced that's the way to
that's
get rich.
Not the way forward. Let's have a look at some races that are coming up. Gareth's going to preview two races for us on Thursday. But also, I just want to have a quick look, if we may, at the Sun Chariot Stakes at the weekend.
Mm.
Persuasive the favourite at the moment at 5-2, 4-1 Roly Poly. Aljazi is 6-1, 6-1 for Usherette. Kemar is 7-1, and it's 12-1. Our bigger prices for the rest at the moment. The reason I wanted to just quickly mention it is because Aidan O'Brien's hunting down that record number of Group 1s. Roly Poly representing him there, apparently. The plan is to go there with her and try and land another one. And then I think he would be on 24.
Right.
Where the record is 25.
Right, okay.
I believe.
So clearly a bit of a... Well, a real story, if this can come off on the weekend. I'll be honest, I've not overly looked at the Newmarket card on Saturday, because I've got the joys of about 400 runners at Redcar, which I'm looking forward to.
I'll just correct myself. Yeah, if she wins, it will be his 23rd of the season.
Right.
Not his 24th. And Bobby Frankel holds 25, so it'd leave him two away if that wins.
Two away. And what else is there? Is that sort of worldwide or just in the UK?
Any top flight.
Yeah, because obviously there's still, the Breeders' Cup to come, and he's bound to have a good team of runners over there.
Yeah, and Champions Day.
Yeah, so very possible, isn't it? I mean, Roly Poly's very, very solid, isn't she? She's a really tough, sort of gritty performer. She's just behind Persuasive in the betting market. Persuasive has been extremely progressive and consistent throughout the course of this season. She looks very exciting. They're both very exciting fillies, but John Gosden trains Persuasive, and she was third at Leopardstown the last time she was seen. She's actually finished in behind Roly Poly earlier on in the season at Deauville as well. So yeah, it's interesting really that Persuasive is ahead of her at this stage in the betting market. Roly Poly just continues to hold her form, I think, really well, and consistently runs well at this top level. So I think the record could well take a... he's going to get a little bit closer to it on the weekend. I mean, there are others to consider as well. I mean, Usherette's a very interesting contender, Kemar as well, looking further down, Nathra's always been a very useful young filly as well. But yeah, it's interesting the way that the market is, because Persuasive, while she has been progressive the last couple of times, you know, she has just been found wanting, whereas Roly Poly keeps on running these big races. And yeah, I think they might be a little bit closer together in the betting on the day, particularly with that sort of publication that you have there in mind, and the record. You know, it's quite a good story, isn't it? And lots of people will be latching on to it, I think.
I agree with you. I think they will be closer in the market come race day. Just in terms of his potential Group 1s going forward, he said it's likely that Winter will probably revert to a mile and a quarter in the Champion Stakes at Ascot. Churchill will either go for that race or the QE2, and Caravaggio will probably go Sprint Stakes and Order of St George Long Distance Cup. So I think he'll break the record.
yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm just looking deeper into the form of these two fillies. Persuasive was actually ahead of Roly Poly when they met in the Matron Stakes, but for me, that race in particular, I mean, it was quite a bit stronger, I think, than again, looking at the this could be a really, really hot race at Newmarket on Saturday. But that Matron Stakes, I thought that was the race of the day, Irish Champion Stakes Day. I thought it was actually a hotter looking race on paper than the big one itself, because all these top fillies turned up, and of course Winter got turned over. She was sent off as the hot favourite, so maybe that's why Persuasive is ahead in the betting market. But they're old rivals now. For me though, Roly Poly, she just brings to the table this level of form that she has been. That was her first sort of iffy-ish run for a while, but it was a very, very hot race. She was only beaten 4.5 lengths, but ultimately she only beat 4 home. If she returns to the sort of form which saw her win those top races earlier on in the summer, one of which was here at Newmarket, albeit on the other track, I think she might just be the one to beat there and edge Aidan O'Brien ever closer to that record. It's a good story, that. I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah. Would be a world record, a long-standing record as well, if he goes on to do it. Let's move on to Thursday's action, because we need to have a quick chat about some of those races. Gareth picked out two at Huntingdon for us on Thursday. The 235 is the first of them, a novice's hurdle over almost 2 miles. We've got a field of 12 set to go to post for this one, Gareth. And Hatcher, I imagine, will be pretty short towards the top of the market, given connections and couple of ones next to his name. But what do you make of the race?
Yeah, I think it's quite a decent little contest. I respect Hatcher, who, as you say, is hunting a hat-trick of wins. But we've already spoken on the podcast about Fayona. The horse that was sixth to Fayona in the Champion Bumper at Cheltenham was a horse called Don Levant, who's going to be making his hurdling debut after just 4 runs in Bumper Company back last season. But ultimately, he did race against some useful horses. We've already touched on Fayona. He was third the time before in a listed bumper at Newbury behind a really decent horse of Nicky Henderson's called Daphne de Close. And ultimately, I think this is going to be quite a short price tomorrow on what is his hurdling introduction for Jamie Snowden, who I think is an up-and-coming trainer and one that's got a couple of really decent horses to go to war with for this coming campaign. So Don Levant will be the selection over Hatcher. But then again, Hatcher with Dan Skelton and Harry Skelton having such a good time of things already, and this one again bringing some fair bumper form to the table. I don't think it'd be any pushover Hatcher, but for me, the form is just that bit better with Don Levant. For that reason, he'll get the vote in that novice's hurdle. Hopefully, they both jump cleanly in service up with a good race.
Yeah, hopefully so. Don Levant, then, the selection for Gareth in the 235 at Huntingdon, and the next race we look at, the final race we look at, is the 3:40 at Huntingdon, which is a novices limited handicap chase, 2 miles, well, the extended 2 miles. The trip for this one, just the 5 of them here. Gareth, what made you pick this?
Yeah, I think this is going to suit Pemba, the small field. Pemba tends to go from the front in its races, and generally she keeps valiantly to the task. She has been beaten on each of her last few outings. I mean, you cast your minds back to November last year. She was chasing home the likes of Top Notch around Warwick, so she's been dining at some pretty good tables. But last time in particular, at the end of August, I thought she was really, really game in defeat. It was a handicap event at Sedgefield. Quite a good race, actually, for Sedgefield. Again, she got beaten by a horse of Dan Skelton's on that occasion, which basically just come and bloodied her nose up the final climb to the line. But she's a bowl-jumping, free-going mare. I think this trackle suitor, she acts pretty well going around right-handed tracks, and Fergal O'Brien's a yard that I really like, and she is ultimately as well the youngest horse in the race. I still think she's got a bit of improvement in her. She takes her racing really well. I think she just might take a little bit of catching, and with that small field, it'll be easier for her to dominate it.
Pemba then, the selection in the 3:40 at Huntingdon. Strongest opinion of the pair?
I think Don Levant, he's got a real class angle, a real class edge in that novice's hurdle. But Pemba might just appeal as the more appealing bet, particularly in terms of prices.
Good stuff, Gareth. Thank you very much.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Mm.
That's the thoughts of Gareth Topham then on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. Darren Owen, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth, the team in the studio. Huntingdon, Warwick and Lingfield are the afternoon meetings, and it's Chelmsford City throughout the evening, so do join us for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.